Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Profits could be hit by tariffs on large US multinationals, and as such, our golden goose, i.e. corporation tax, could be affected. We may also end up building fewer homes again this year than expected. However, on the upside, the domestic economy remains robust and inflation should remain low in the coming months. These are the views of the Central Bank of Ireland, which today published its latest quarterly bulletin. And Martin O'Brien is the head of division of Irish Economic Analysis at the Central Bank. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Joe.
Now, can we start with the American tariffs? They're making the Irish economy wobble a little.
Yeah, so certainly there's the big narrative that's shaping the outlook right now is the uncertainty around trade policy and tariffs in particular. And what we're seeing as a result of that in sort of the hard data around GDP and exports in this year is a lot of volatility. Very strong outturns in Q1 as a result of companies sort of front-loading activity to in expectation of tariffs. But then when we look sort of into the future, that level of uncertainty itself is a drag on investment, on consumer spending in the domestic economy as well. So those things are certainly the key features that's shaping the outlook.
Do you get a sense that this uncertainty is acting as a brake on overall investment?
Yeah, we certainly do, and particularly in the areas of business investment. So what we saw in 22 and 23 in particular was very strong growth in sort of business investment in the state. And that was also related to multinationals too. But that was always going to taper off. It was never going to last at that sort of strength of growth. But the sort of the current conditions of uncertainty is certainly adding a sort of a chill factor to that and a cooling factor to those investment outlook. And we sort of revised down our prospects for that. Also on the domestic front, you know, the investment in housing is also a little bit weaker than what we would have previously expected. And that is also in part contributed to by this general level of uncertainty.
And the other issue is, of course, that companies and governments are helpless. They depend on the whim of one individual living in DC.
Well, there is a certain amount of volatility, of uncertainty, as you said, in the outlook. And because of that sort of extent of uncertainty, you know, in the bulletin that we've published today, we've looked at a range of scenarios, basically. One, which are a central scenario, which sees sort of growth in the domestic economy averaging around 2% over the next 2 to 3 years. But if we did see a situation where tariffs were higher, where levels of uncertainty remained at very high levels, you know, we would probably see growth, that pace of growth halved to about 1% over the next 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm. You're less confident about housing completions than you were previously.
Yes. So a number of factors there. Well, first of all, when we look at sort of some of the data that has come in, it's been below expectations, certainly below our expectations for the first quarter in terms of completions. But also when you look at sort of the pipeline of activity coming through, say, from planning permissions, that's also been slightly weaker than what we would have expected. So we've revised down our housing outlook for this year, next year and the year after, eventually housing completions reaching about 41,000 by 2027, a little bit over that. So a lot of factors contributing there. Things with respect to productivity in the construction sector itself, the challenges around availability of zoned land, the availability of sufficient public infrastructure to support this kind of uplift in housing that's required. These are major factors that sort of acting as a constraint on housing delivery overall.
And do you think that the proposed reforms of the rent pressure zones could be, quote, painful for renters?
Rent controls in general have been introduced in the context of a market that's not functioning well, and it's not functioning well for renters in particular, but also for prospective renters. In the context of needing to provide sufficient protections for renters and sufficient availability of supply for prospective renters, it was probably appropriate that there be some look at the rent pressure zone regime, to support to a certain extent private investment coming back into the sector to an extent. Now, changes that have been made recently go toward that area. But you know, in and of themselves, you know, they're not going to be a silver bullet for fixing the wider issues in the housing market. As I said, the most fundamental issues with respect to fixing the wider issues in the housing market does relate back to things like, you know, efficiency in the planning system, the need for ramping up sufficient investment in public infrastructure to support housing, and aspects around, you know, productivity in the construction sector overall.
With respect to the public finances, you use the phrase under pressure. I mean, it doesn't sound as if it's under pressure to me with budget surpluses and falling national debt.
So certainly at the headline level, there's quite a favourable outlook and a robust outlook for the public finances. You know, we would still expect at a headline level surpluses in the region of, you know, 7 to 8 billion over the next 2 to 3 years. I guess the challenge there then comes back to, well, what are the issues with respect to the changing geoeconomic situation, you know, the imposition of potentially higher tariffs or other tax and industrial policy in the US in particular that could influence corporation tax receipts in particular here. So there is a sort of a risk there to the public finances, given the reliance on corporation tax receipts that we've seen now reaching about 30% of overall revenue. And as we know, also sort of concentrated in a very small number of multinational companies. So, you know, we've looked a little bit in this particular bulletin at some of the alternative outlooks for the public finances. And if we were to see a situation where, for example, we had a much higher tariff levels, but also we had some other policy changes which led to, you know, changes in investment patterns and changes in how multinationals structure themselves and structure their value chains, we could see the public finances swing into a deficit of about 17 to 18 billion by the end of this decade, which is quite a significant turnaround. And it is something that, you know, warrants consideration more generally, that the public finances be put onto a very sustainable path, given these risks of concentration in from corporation tax receipts, but also some of the longer term challenges around the need to support public capital investment, as I said, but also, you know, the aging of the population and the costs that will arise from that.
But finally, you think there's an opportunity for the domestic economy to step up and take a little bit more slack from the FDI economy?
Yeah, and I mean, and that's probably part of the solution here to decreasing the reliance of obviously the public finances and the economy more generally to FDI. I mean, we are always going to be a small open economy. You know, we've benefited hugely from that kind of openness, that kind of openness to trade, that kind of openness to investment. I think that will always be a solid part of the way that the Irish economy operates. But certainly, you know, when we look at things going forward, that we certainly we would see a positive momentum around looking more to the European single market, for example, thinking about how we can work with others to break down any further barriers to trade and investment within Europe that can certainly present opportunities for growth for Indigenous businesses in Ireland too.
Okay, Martin, thank you very much for joining us. That's Martin O'Brien, the head of Division Irish Economic Analysis with the Central Bank of Ireland.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.